Hello and welcome to the Much More Podcast, the podcast that aims to help you be more, to be able to reach your fullest potential, and then to be able to give more in terms of that potential. I am your host, Mark Miller, and I'm excited to bring you this one. Let's get into it. Things have been pretty chaotic since my last podcast. And the reason being is because I've been inundated and overwhelmed, partly by my own doing, to information about coronavirus or COVID-19, as it's now been so beautifully and eloquently renamed into COVID-19. It's the virus that came outside of China, originated in the Hubei province, probably messed that up, and it's doing the rounds a bit in the world. It's been something that I've been focused on, and people around me have been focused on for probably the last month. It is this virus that has taken over. So much information about this thing, and all when we say information, we don't really know what it is or how the virus works yet. I think the first incubation period was 7 days, and then 14 days, and then it went to 28, and then back to 14. So no one really knows how this thing works. I've heard things about the R0, which is pretty much the how contagious it is, being from 1 point something to 2. Then 3 to 4, then some cases saying that it's up to 6, and now it's kind of stepped back down to 3 to 4. So we're not entirely sure how this thing works, and I'm pretty sure you know what the coronavirus is. If not, it's a virus that causes pneumonia-like symptoms, as far as I'm aware. It can make a lot of people very ill. The elderly has fallen to it, and there's been over 2,000 deaths worldwide because of this virus. And it's got a lot of people on edge, especially now, because South Korea has gone up. Singapore is, at the point of this recording, sitting on 89, which is pretty good. I think Singapore, in comparison to where it is in Southeast Asia, is doing pretty well. All this information that I've just told you now has made me feel a little bit paranoid at times, and I've had like weird responses to the coronavirus. There's times where I would look at the memes online and laugh about it. I would listen to all the songs that people send me and all the jokes that are made about it. I think that's something that happens. When we as people are faced with hysteria, irrationality, and fear, we tend to joke about it. We tend to make it a little bit lighter, which is awesome. I think that is great. And we do that very good at doing this en masse. We will joke about it and make things smaller because we don't want to come across paranoid, and also we need to be able to manage it. But then when we try this on our own, it doesn't work that long. We can make jokes about it, but then we come back to this reality or this framed version of reality that we create, and we try and feed that and we put our minds into that. I've noticed that around many people around me is that they will joke about it and then things will get a bit more serious and the conspiracy theories will come out. And it's just this weird way of looking at the world. Just what's happening in Southeast Asia with the virus has got me thinking about, like, what is hysteria and the way that people react to it? What is irrationality? Why are we irrational? From what reasons? Where does it derive from? And then we look a little bit on fear. Man, what fear and paranoia and hysteria can do is that it would lead us to look for our own confirmation biases and fulfilling and perpetuating your fear, and then creating a belief system that just feeds your irrationality. I noticed this over this own period, and I would just look at the stock markets falling and be like, the world financially is coming to the end. Look at all the millions of people that are probably losing their jobs because of this. And I mean, there probably is some sense of reality, but I perpetuated and made it something so much bigger than what it needed to be. I would find articles from news sources that I've never heard of, and I would just believe them over my own sanity, over my own logic, because it was written down somewhere. I would really enjoy going in the mornings and speaking to my colleagues about what is happening. And I would start speaking to my colleagues what is happening in the morning, and I would go with the facts and information. They would do the same, and it would become a point of where we can talk. And also what happens is through phases of this, through phases of hysteria, we can find conformity, speaking to each other by that which causes our fear to be perpetuated and irrationality just come and kick in, is because we had found conformity. It's a place of common ground. And the danger of that is unless somebody comes and directly changes that and that space, it can perpetuate. And this is why throughout Singapore, we keep hearing the government and various different agencies say, do not perpetuate lies. Because it's easy to do that. We have social media and it can catch on like wildfire, and it's all very exciting to speak about it. Because it's something different. It's something out of the norm, and we want to hold on to that. But then it becomes part of the norm. So we've got to look for the next big mass set of hysteria. Anyway, so this is what I would do. I fell very much into the trap of that. And then I started becoming the so-called expert on how it spreads. Because I read something that it was an aerosol, meaning they can spread over air. I read that it would stay on metal objects for 24 hours in a day. And I would become super paranoid and not touch anything and move away from things and becoming overly hygienic, which probably is a good thing, washing my hands at all hours of the day, just at random intervals. Look, I by no means am an expert on this. I don't know what is really happening with the virus. The numbers say that it's just increasing, but what I've noticed increasing as well is a set of panic and fear. And it's not just in Singapore. It's all over the world. And we've started making decisions on irrationality and fear. But this got me thinking, because there's been a lot of decisions that people have made on fear. And it got me thinking about fear. Fear, I've heard the acronym, is false evidence appearing real. And I think that's where irrationality stems from, is false evidence appearing real, not necessarily fear itself. Because I think fear in itself is actually good for us. It causes you to be cautious. It is something that is biologically hardwired, programmed into our 2 million-year-old brains that is designed to look after us and keep us alive, and fear is an element of that. We would see a tiger and be like, ah, that thing's got nasty teeth, I don't want to go close to that, let me run away, and I live. So that is what fear does. It causes a flight, fight, or freeze response, is the element of fear. And this is to keep us alive. And that is primarily because fear is instructive. Fear tells us what we should do in order to keep ourselves safe. We've established now that the general fears of having to run away from a tiger that wants to eat us, or a lion, or whatever it may be, angry grizzly bear, look, sometimes that might happen, but doubtfully. Now, we don't really need that response of fear as much, but we still have a sense of fear and panic and adrenaline that kicks in. But what that can do is it can allow us to be instructive. It can give us some sort of instruction on how to move. So what I noticed during the Singapore period is we were upgraded to DORSCON Orange. When I say upgraded, I don't know if it's an upgrade, downgrade, I don't know. We were just graded to DORSCON Orange, which is the next level of precaution that the government has decided to take, which means that there are some restrictions on what to do because of COVID-19. All fair and well. They had to make that decision. Might have been a decision based on an element of fear. Fear of what could happen to society within Singapore, what could happen to the country if things were to get out of hand. So it was the fear of things getting out of hand that made the government do this. It had a bit of a reaction. Everybody in Singapore started buying everything out of the stores. Toilet paper, couldn't get that. Certain types of meat, could not get that. It was a bit chaotic, and because of this, an element of fear of not getting food, so what I had to do is I had to be instructive and get it. How has fear worked for you? How has the instruction of fear worked for you outside of this? Maybe you have the fear of not eating, so you go get a job. You have the fear of losing your house, so you make sure that you pay your mortgage. Or you have fear of not having a roof over your head, so you pay your rent. Those are just some basic examples, but there's been elements of fear that allow you to do certain things. You have a fear of being alone, so you work on your relationship. Fear can serve us to prepare, to allow us to be ready, to be active, to change our mindsets, maybe change our approaches. This is what fear can allow us to do. But it's irrationality that doesn't serve us. Being irrational is very dangerous. Irrationality will block our thoughts. It slows us down and takes rational decisions out the window. Irrationality is a quality of being illogical and unreasonable. And I remember this happening to me quite clearly in Mozambique. I used to paraglide. My family paraglides, my dad paraglides, my brother paraglides, and a family friend of ours went paragliding in Mozambique. He was an inexperienced paraglider pilot at the time, there was a storm coming in, and he was still in the sky, and my brother had the radio, and my dad had a radio, but my dad had landed somewhere, and my brother had to go pick him up. But anyway, so there was this kind of, at the time, inexperienced pilot in the air with storm clouds brewing over. One thing that storm clouds do is it creates a phenomenon known as cloud suck to the paragliding world, which ultimately means that there's a really strong thermal underneath a storm cloud. The cloud itself can suck you up into the air, and if it's a cumulonimbus cloud, the height of that will extend to the height of the cloud. So you can get sucked up into the air with no means of really bringing yourself down, and this is actually a very dangerous situation. So I saw storm clouds, and I saw this guy flying, and being on the ground, I couldn't really tell how high he was. I had to kind of guess. I thought to myself, well, there's clouds coming in, and I don't know if he'll be able to come down. Fear started to kick in, and I was like, cool, we need to be able to get him down. So what I did is, under the rational side of me, I was like, I need to see if there's a radio, because I didn't know who had the radios at the time. I was like, let me get a radio, see if I can speak to him, just see how he's doing, make sure he's okay, all good and well, then he's fine. And as I did that, I found out that there was no radio. So that's when the panic starts kicking in. And fear and panic, not a very good combination. And that's where a lot of irrationality derives from, is under fear and panic. Especially when our rational decisions did not come to fruition, the next thing we do is kind of panic because we're like, oh, that didn't work. Now what? And we start perpetuating stories. So in my head, I was like, he's going to get sucked up into the clouds, and he's not going to be able to get down, and this is going to be terrible. Made it to such a very extreme thought in my head, but I started living it. I started feeling that. And then I noticed that my physiology started changing as I became very panicked, and I started breathing heavily. And this caused me to act in irrational ways. I was telling everybody around me, we need to get him down, we need to get him down. And there was a group of family friends. I was like, come to think of it, how were they going to get him down? They were coming in the same boat as me. And then I would run onto the beach, and I was like, you need to land here. Try fly away from the clouds, and riding this in the sand and doing all this weird stuff. Just try to communicate to him, but acting totally irrational, making other people around me panic for no reason. The story comes to a conclusion is that my dad and brother get back. And they're on the radio, and they got him down, and he lands, and he's fine. But I remember just becoming so panic-stricken, and because of that, and because of my fears taking over my rational thought, I became illogical and totally unreasonable. And that's what will happen when irrationality kicks in and hysteria kicks in. We become unreasonable, we cloud our own judgment, and we can't think clearly. We lose our ability to think clearly, and this is also demonstrated in a study that was done in the States. And it was derived off the Ebola crisis in Africa, and especially in West Africa. They had a group of people sitting in a room, and they were told about the Ebola outbreak in Africa. They were just given the facts and just left with numbers. And then they left the group alone to their own devices to start communicating. And obviously, they were speaking about Ebola. During the observation, they realized that anxiety started to kick in, that panic started to kick in, that elements of fear started kicking in, listening to the conversations and what people were saying, and that Africa is totally unsafe, and that anybody who travels to Africa should be quarantined. And this is what they found. And then when asked the question, 80% of them said that anybody who had come in contact with anybody from Africa should be quarantined. It's a totally irrational thought. But this is what happens when fear and panic strikes. How this works is, and how fear and panic will strike, is that there's an activating experience that causes irrationality. It's the state of experiencing some sort of negativity. For instance, the COVID-19 situation. There's negative experiences with this. Then we have an emotional consequence. We attach emotional consequences to the negative situation. Because of that emotional consequence, we then create an irrational belief. And that irrational belief is what allows us to behave illogically, irresponsibly. It's because we feed that irrational belief. And this can also be implemented to those around us. We get an emotional conclusion, get our preconceived ideas and our prejudices fed through irrationality. We become irrational when we create a negative belief. and when we want to feed that, and we'll look for any source of information to feed that. And you can see that happening not just in terms of the coronavirus, but politically around the world. There's so many changes that are happening within Malaysia right now, India, Africa, America with the elections. How people communicate with one another, how social media can perpetuate them. And this has a big impact on us. When we start being irrational or acting on irrationality, we lose motivation. People become less motivated. I fall into this. There's been times where I've been less motivated at work because of what's happening around Southeast Asia and Asia at this point. I've had people around the world telling me how terrible things would be, and they just become demotivated and slumped. And we decide to stand firm in these beliefs instead of trying to change them, and we feed these emotions. And again, I saw this happening with the COVID situation, is that there was this book by David Koontz, and this is where conspiracies come in. This book spoke about a virus called Wuhan 400, which was eerily close to what was happening. And then people said, oh, it's a prediction of the virus. And when you actually read it, no, it's not. It's a fictional book that was speaking about a fictional circumstance that just originated in Wuhan, where there was a virus or a bioweapon released. Not even a virus, but the virus itself wasn't really anything the way that COVID-19 responds. But people added to it. They added extra meaning onto it. And that's what we do with irrational beliefs, is that we'll add meaning onto it. So what does this mean for all of us? It means that we need to be aware of this. There's so many dangers in irrational thoughts. Like, we start thinking things to ourselves like, why did he say that? Why did she do that? Did she want to hurt me? Irrational thoughts can lead into such weird and and bizarre behavior. The fear of irrational behavior and irrational thinking and thoughts can result in mental health issues. We can get paranoid, we can get extreme anxiety, and in some cases you can form psychosis and in others phobias. And when that happens, when you've gone point to such a point of forming, getting this anxiety, seek extra help. But there's ways that we can combat this. And the first way is we go to confront our thoughts directly. When we realize that we're being irrational or that we're feeding a belief, rationalize what is real and just push through the chaos. But be aware that this will take time. Another thing that what you should do is meditate. Learn how to be in control of your thoughts and realize that you are not your thoughts. An observer of your thoughts. Just let it go. Be aware of how you think and what you're feeding your thoughts. Another way to combat irrational thoughts and behavior and anxieties is to pray. Seek guidance from God. Get into your spiritual practice. Hold on to the truth that is there and the comfort that can be found there. Have a strong support system around you. Man, it's been really great to have people that I can speak to about this. And yeah, we sometimes go down an irrational thought path or whatever, but then we can also bring each other out of it. And that is so good to do, is that you've got to have a support system around you that you can snap each other out of it. Just be like, okay, hold on, what you just said there is totally irrational, not based on any fact, and you're feeding your biases. And you can just pull each other out of this negative headspace. Don't isolate yourself. Go out and be as normal as possible. Get in these groups. In the last episode, I spoke about connection, and that's why connection is so important, because you can support each other. Recenter yourself to what is normal. Find a normal routine, habits again. And if your mind is too wild or in too much of a dark place, just allow yourself to be and just realize that this is just a dark space that I'm in. Instead of trying to make big decisions on this, just read, watch movies, relax. Don't make big decisions on irrational behaviors. Make an effort as well to prove yourself wrong in terms of your irrational thoughts. Question your thoughts. Is this actually real? Let me look for evidence and see if you can prove yourself wrong instead of trying to prove yourself right. This will create perspective for you. Irrational thoughts get fed from lies, and rationality derives from truth. So you've got to find that. Find where you are being irrational and what lie is feeding that, and then look for the truth of the matter. Because rationality will come from truth. Being logical will come from truth. And lastly, work on what you can control during these situations. Because there's so much that you can control. Let fear instruct you, but don't let panic and fear drive you into irrationality. So control your own fears. this is so important to do. My final thoughts on this is something that I've had to remind myself over and over again, because it's so easy to be perpetuated. If people are speaking about it, there's still elements where I'm like, I want to feed into it. But there's moments where I've actually pulled myself away. And like realize that even just under when buying and preparing is that I overdid it with certain things. I mean, I bought 12 liters of long life milk. Like, why? I look back and I'm like, how did I even make that decision? I bought 9 cans of tuna when like really I could probably do with 4 or 5. But on other things, look, I got the essentials that I needed as well. I got some rice because I knew it could last longer in case something were to happen. And I felt like there's an element where I prepared. But then there was an element where I was totally irrational. And I laughed at the amount of food that I bought. 3 liters of olive oil. Like, come now. Why did I do that? I still laugh about it. But it's something that I own up to. I realized that it was irrational. It's something I can laugh about. And I think you should be able to do that. Realize that there's moments where you've just made completely messed up decisions based on irrational thoughts and ideas. But realize that you can fix your own mistakes. Realize that no consequence can't be dealt with. You've got to figure out how you deal with that. You can laugh it off, as I did with all the weird, silly things that I bought. You can choose to interact with information given to you. There's things that you can control. So if you are a bit stressed about the coronavirus or the COVID-19, or if you find yourself being stressed about something completely unrelated and this has somehow worked for you, just realize that you can be in control of it. Don't feed it. Make an active decision right now to change your mindset. Because if you change your thoughts, you can definitely change your world. Anyway, that's all I have to say on that. Take care.